This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Before we get started, I got a note from our friend Stan Cotton that Coach Clawson's going to be doing his bowl radio show tonight amongst hundreds of barrels of brown water, Packer.
Excuse me? And we weren't invited?
Nope.
It involves brown water?
You are invited right now, and I was going to take a sip from my Packer and Durham coffee mug, but...
And eat your egg custard that's also invisible?
You know, you look like...
Yeah, I mean, the last time I was on this show, I was told I'd have a coffee mug within days, and...
Well...
Hold my breath. You know, good thing I brought some oxygen tents in here to survive.
Yeah, you know, you're like Nate Oates looking for a handshake down there at the University of Alabama at the end of that game the other night. You will get one. Here's the problem, Coach, I'm going to plead guilty here because it's my responsibility to get you that coffee mug. I put the coffee mugs into the dishwasher to make sure they're super clean for you, like, and they haven't been touched. The problem is the lettering came off of it, and it looks like Czechoslovakian lettering on the side now. Like, all, the Packer and Durham is down to like a C and an R, and I didn't want to send that to you because you'd have gone, that moron Packer, he can't get anything right. So we've got new ones ordered, apparently, and they are coming your way.
There we go.
I know you've heard that mail before. But that's the truth.
That is the best excuse I've heard since the dog ate my homework.
All right. Let's get down to the crux of the matter. You're here with us on National Signing Day. And I remember a conversation you and I had prior to the Duke ball game where you said, people are going to be really surprised. We're not going to sign very many guys. And sure enough, you've already released the 12 high school prospects that you have gotten a national letter of intent from today. So why 12, not the normal 20? And you're not the only school, by the way, but you were pretty forthright about how it was going to be handled.
Well, I said it a while ago that I think coaches are, you know, you're in a bind this year because, you know, we could sign 20 and then tell a bunch of them when we have fifth and sixth year guys decide to come back for an extra year that they have to gray shirt. And we don't think it's right to do that. So these are 12 guys that can come in and start early. If some of our older players decide not to come back, then we'll be, you know, a little shorthanded next year. But in my mind, we're going to sign 20, but the other eight are going to be our current players that are coming back for a fifth or sixth year. So, you know, our two excellent all-conference guards, Loic Nye and Sean McGinn, have both indicated to us that they want to come back for a sixth year. Sam Hartman's told us that he's planning on coming back for a fifth year. Tyler Williams is going to come back for a sixth year. Rondell Bothroyd is coming back for a fifth year. Kobe Davis is going to come back for a sixth year. And those are guys that in a normal year would probably have graduated and we'd sign 20. So if you added those eight players to our signing class, you know, Pack, I know you're a big fan of FPI and what a great metric that is. If you added that to our recruiting class, you know, FPI might even pick us to win a game or two next year.
Don't get me started. I do want to take a step away from recruiting for a second. Attending the ACC championship game, I couldn't help but notice really Wake Forest and Pitt, the two championship teams, really did a great job in fan support. And, you know, I know we kid around the last time we had you on the show about it, and that's been cleared up. But, man, I tell you what, the old black and gold on game day, that was really impressive in Charlotte. And I know you wanted to win the game. That's obvious. That's a given. But, man, a lot of the support that you had was out of sight.
Yeah, there's been a handful of moments as the head coach here that you get the goosebumps and the hairs on your neck go up. And that was one of them. When we took the field and we saw between 25 and 30,000 Wake Forest fans in black and gold packing the whole half of the stadium, you know, that's meaningful to our team. And, you know, that happened with the Belk Bowl. We had a couple of sellouts to end the season. But it's great that our football program can be a rallying point for our whole university. And, again, we're disappointed we didn't win, disappointed we didn't play better. But what a showing by our fans. And I think we've already sold out our bowl allotment tickets down in Jacksonville. So, you know, I know I made a joke about the six fans, and there was many reasons for doing that, but one was to hopefully rally our fan base a little bit. And I don't know if you saw the T-shirts that said, I'm one of the six Wake Forest fans. So I think we sold a few thousand of those. So it was a great response by our fan base, and we're grateful to them.
I tell you what, between those T-shirts and Forbes and that Eddie Haskell hat he had going on for that promotion over the weekend, you guys have got it going on. And now you got your coach's show at a bourbon bar. I mean, does it get any better than that, Coach? You're just missing a little Miss Jean's famous pie, and you've got it all covered.
You know what? It's the trifecta that you have a radio show at a bourbon bar, you get a Packer and Durham coffee mug, and you get a egg custard pie from Wes. So that would be the trifecta. I'm going to knock out one of the three tonight. You know, it's like I'm hoping the other two come to fruition before Christmas.
All right.
I told my wife I didn't need anything. I said I don't need a gift. I'm getting an egg custard pie and a Packer and Durham coffee mug. Yeah. What else in the world could you possibly want?
Wait till my mom hears this show. All right.
No
pressure, Miss Jean. All right. Dave, I want to ask you about we had Mike Elko on a couple days ago. And, I mean, I know you got to be happy for him. And he said your guidance and the visits you guys had were incredibly helpful and supportive of him ultimately making the decision to be the new head football coach at Duke. What was that like for you? Here's a guy who's been a friend. You guys have worked together in more than a couple different spots together. You know, and he's obviously gone to Notre Dame and then to A&M and now comes kind of full circle back. And, by the way, gets to play you now every year because you're permanent crossover opponents.
No, I'm really happy for Mike. I hired Mike when he was 23 years old and single at Fordham to coach our linebackers. And, I mean, you could tell very early in the interview with him that he was years ahead of guys and more experienced and more intuitive than guys that had coached the position for 20 years. So it was a matter of time. And I think for Mike, it was finding the right place at the right time. I was always hoping he'd get a head job. I didn't necessarily want it to be at one of our rival schools, but in the last 2 years, I've had two of my former assistants get Power 5 head jobs, Clark Lee at Vanderbilt and Mike Elko at Duke. They're both excellent coaches. They'll do a great job at both those places. And I'm happy and really proud of Mike and Clark for their ascension in the profession.
Coach, I want to fast forward a second. We started with recruiting. I kind of want to end it with this too. Did you get a sense, given your success this particular year with a championship? Because you've gone to bowls now for 100 years in a row, and you've now made that routine, and that's not easy. But the fact that you won the Atlantic Division, in terms of recruiting moving forward, did you already find that doors are opening up that maybe were not there a year ago? And maybe that question's not fair for maybe 4 months down the road, 5 months down the road. But did you sense an impact already by winning the Atlantic?
I would say there was two bumps. And again, everything that happens in building a program is incremental. You don't go from bad to great. There's steps in between. And I would say with COVID and not being able to get people on campus, you know, last summer when we could get guys on campus and they got to see our new facilities for the first time, we had players picking us over other schools that we traditionally haven't beaten recruiting because they would leave our campus and say, you guys are clearly more committed to football than this ACC school or this ACC school. We had never heard that before. And that was the facility commitment and the generosity of Bob McCreary and Ben Sutton and Alan Fox and others that put us in that position. Then the success of our season and winning 10 games and winning the Atlantic and getting to the ACC championship game kind of late in the process some really big elite power five schools that have been in the college football playoff tried to jump in late and take some of our recruits. And maybe in the past, without having the success, maybe we would have lost one or two of those guys. And this year we hung on to every single one of them. And again, don't get me going on the stars, but you know, we had a player that the whole time we're recruiting him, he's three stars. And we think he's the very best player at his position in the state, and one of the top in the country. But it's funny, until they get that offer from a certain school, they don't become a four-star. And, you know, so we thought this guy was one of the best, you know, receivers in the country from day one. But until a school that was a member of the ACC for one season offers him, he doesn't become a four-star. So, though, you know, we've never won those battles before. We've never beaten a school, that school before in recruiting. And they came on this guy hard at the end, and we held on to him, and it worked out because it took that offer for him to get a four-star. So suddenly he got better in the recruiting services after his last game. It's funny how that works.
Yeah, it is.
You know, but again, that'll help our FPI rank pack. So again, yeah, instead of maybe predicted to win two games next year, they might pick us to win 2.6.
That's it. There's a 48% chance that's accurate.
Hey, real quick before we go here, I've noticed that something's different about your backdrop. Is that something over your right shoulder that has worked its way into your office now? Is that right? Sitting on that chair.
Well, I put the. Is it the belt bowl championship?
No, it's not that. No? It's on the chair. I think it's sitting right over your right shoulder. It looks like a. Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, geez, who snuck that in here?
If you got it, flaunt
it. I didn't even notice it. I was just too busy looking for my coffee mug that I don't have.
Maybe it's stuck behind there. You just never know.
Might be behind it. So.
I'm just saying.
Are you asking Clawson the question?
I am asking Coach the question.
Oh, this is good. Now I'm expecting a good answer.
All right, here we go, Coach. Give me the song, the tune that you, Dave Clawson, get absolutely jazzed, your walk-in moment. I mean, it's whatever gets you dialed in. Game day, bowl game, championship, whatever. What's the song?
Naive Melody, This Must Be the Place by Talking Heads.
Wow. Went right to it.
David Byrne and Talking Heads.
Oh, yeah. That's Talking Heads is my favorite band, David Byrne. Matter of fact, even in my office, one of my best friends from high school up in Lewiston Porter High School in Youngstown, New York. He knows how much I like that song, and he sent me a poster. It's called Talking Heads Realty. This Must Be the Place, because the song's about home. And I love that tune. So that's number one on my playlist. You know, if I'm on my deathbed and I got 4 minutes left, that's the tune I'm going to want to hear.
All right. There it is. Right to the chase.
Nice call. Hey, now, be well.
Wait a minute.
Now, wait.
I will just say this, and I don't want to do this to you, but it's your call. If you do want the Packer and Durham Czechoslovakian mug, I will send that to you with the four letters that it didn't get washed away.
Dave,
but
no.
Do you want to hold out for the legit full Packer and Durham mug? Just let me know. I'll go either way there. A or B.
Get the real one.
I'll. You guys are such first class guys that I'll take the top shelf mug when it gets here. So
Pretty
I
good.
Can. You know, patience is a virtue, right?
By the way, speaking of top shelf, have a great radio show tonight.
Yeah. Go to the top shelf.
Well, you guys are more than welcome to join. And from what I understand, if you come up, Stan Cotton would foot the bar bill. So
I tell you what, you throw in some more of that Moravian sugar cake that we got from Winston-Salem this week.
Hey.
I might just have to road trip after the radio show.
Hey,
tonight.
Coach, we had a pallet delivered. I picked it up at the Wilkerson Bakery the other day in Winston-Salem. A pallet. It was unbelievable.
So, anytime you get to town, let me know. And, again, I'm going to be down in Charlotte in January. Would love to go break bread with you guys.
Oh, here
somewhere.
We go.
That's
yeah,
it.
We're in.
Done
All
deal.
Right. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
Okay, thank you, guys.
You
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Dave Clawson, head coach of the Deacs.
11th appearance, leader in the clubhouse on the football side. Dave Dorn's got 10. Jeff Collins got 10. Yeah. Abe Clawson's got 11.
Division next year at Florida State, at Louisville, at NC State, BC, Clemson, Syracuse at Truist Field.
That's all they got, six games?
No, but those are the division games. They play Carolina and Winston-Salem, conference game, at Duke, of course. So there you go. Those are the eight. VMI at Vanderbilt, Liberty, and Army.
If you think this is a kind of one of those fluky years, you would be wrong. He's got everybody and their brother coming back. That offense, which lit everybody up for the most part, probably other than Clemson, they're all back, man. They're going to be good again next year.
I would say don't sleep on the Deeks.
Be a mistake.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Good night for the old ACC in men's basketball.
5-0.
Yep, 5-0. Started off in Durham with A.J. Griffin going for a season-high 19. Blue Devils beat South Carolina State 103-62. Duke's first game in about 12 days, Mark.
Didn't look like there was a whole lot of rust. I mean, they ran those dudes right out of town,
yep,
man.
That game was over at halftime. It was 60-27 at the break.
It was over about the second time out.
Yeah.
See you later.
Duke looked good. Louisville got a win. Good one. 26-pointer over Southeastern Louisiana last night. Malik Williams, a double-double. Card shot 52% from the floor. Southeastern really struggled. They were only 32% from the floor last night and just 6 of 23 from behind the line. I don't know if we have the picture yet, but Wake Forest beat VMI 77-70. They trailed 13 at the half. It's their biggest halftime deficit to win since 2007. Alondis Williams had 36 for Forbes' Deeks last night, most since Justin Gray had 38 in a game in 2006. Justin Gray, by the way, was a stone-cold killer for Wake Forest. That guy would spot up and take your heart.
Deeks were down double digits with about 10, 11 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And I sent the group text out. I said, watch out. What's going on in Winston-Salem?
Yeah.
In fact, the same exact time, Clemson was down, I think, 6 to Miami of Ohio.
That's right.
And you know, I told you yesterday, the ACC, this needs to be a 5-0 night. And you're looking at two games where two ACC teams were behind midway through the second half. And you know what? Both came through. Flying colors.
Yep. So Steve Forbes, though, brought his walk-ons, the scout team for VMI during practice, to the post-game presser. I hope we can show that picture at the end. It was pretty funny. It hit the social media pretty quick last night. Brought them all to the post-game presser because they deserved all the credit for getting the team ready. Pretty smart. I like that. Clemson beat Miami of Ohio 89-76. Alex Hemingway knocking down threes like he did Saturday in Atlanta. Clemson was 8 of 12 from three in the second half, 13 of 24 from behind the line in the ball game. Miami of Ohio had beaten Georgia Tech to open the season, and I think it's headed for a big year in the MAC. That might end up being a really, really good win for Clemson. That could be a top 100 win at the end of the year. Clemson gets South Carolina on Saturday before going to Virginia before Christmas. Yowza.
Hey, you know, it's like Leonard Hamilton said. We were kidding around with him about having three consecutive ACC road games.
Right.
And, you know, Coach was right. Hey, it is what it is. It's who's on the schedule. You got to go play. And for Clemson, that South Carolina game's always got a little more juice to it. And Gamecocks are fresh off of beating Florida State, Leonard Hamilton, after the Noles lost that big lead. So, yeah, I mean, guess what? It's time to go play. You got to start getting some good wins.
Yep. Carolina beat Furman 74-61. Dawson Garcia, a double-double, 20 and 10. Armando Bacot had his sixth double-double of the year. Tar Heels go to 24-2 all-time against the Paladins, but it was the first meeting since 1986 between the two schools. Carolina plays UCLA in Vegas on Saturday.
Good one.
Sure is. Saturday at 3 o'clock, it's part of a CBS Sports Classic doubleheader, I think, that features Kentucky and Ohio State on the other side, right?
Yeah, North Carolina, UCLA, you talking about blue bloods.
Right.
Go back to tradition and history. And I like the way the Heels are playing, man. And listen, UCLA's legit. And that ranking, that little number beside their name, they've earned it. You saw what they did last year. They've gotten off to a good start. In fact, the Pac-12's got three at the very top. SC's off to a tremendous start. So is Arizona. So is UCLA. So they'll have a great run. But I like the way the Heels have been playing the last couple weeks.
Yeah, this would be a very interesting – it would be a great win for Hubert Davis if they can pull this off. It would also kind of be a signature win for the league. This would also help the league now when you
desperately
talk.
Desperately needs these kind of wins.
In fact, you got the game tonight with Duke and South Carolina on the ladies' side. Those are two ranked teams.
Yeah, but the women, I will say this. The ladies, from the ACC perspective, mm-hmm. has six teams ranked in the AP Top 25.
Right.
The women are doing their job. The men have some work to do.
I agree.
This is the kind of game, for not only North Carolina's perspective, but for the conference's reputation, sure. Could use one. Really, desperately use one.
Carolina and UCLA played a year ago, you may remember. Actually, a little more than a year ago, December of 19. They played in Cleveland. 74-64 was the final. They've played just about every other year. Carolina has won five in a row from UCLA going into this weekend. Last UCLA victory was in 2000, January of 2000. UCLA won 71-68. So, be a signature win for Carolina. Tar Heels playing a lot better, Pack. A lot better. Caleb Love he's having an all-ACC year, in my opinion.
Well, it's only mid-December.
I understand that.
But here's what I like about North Carolina West. When we watched them early, right, mm-hmm. up and down the floor, it looked like typical North Carolina basketball. You know, fast break, here we go.
Yeah.
But defensively, they were not good early.
Right.
I'll go back to the ACC Big Ten Challenge when they played Michigan. They thumped Michigan. That was such an impressive defensive effort. And when you beat a team like that as convincingly as they did, then they go to Georgia Tech, they fall behind early, and then they put the clamps on, and man, they can score. I've been impressed watching North Carolina get better and better and better. Still think Duke's the best team. Mm-hmm. I think North Carolina's the second best team right now in the league.
I
know we got accounting tomorrow, but I do think the shades of blue are at the very top. But I've been really impressed with the way North Carolina's starting to look like they're getting it.
How's your accounting doing?
My accounting's fine.
No, last night I saw a text that said it was not doing good.
No, that's when because I have Wake moving and grooving, right? I got them doing their thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't need the Deacs to lose to VMI. That would have been a hurt. That would have been a problem.
Yeah.
So I got my accounting. I still got to tweak some.
Do you?
I know you're looking over my shoulder. That's not the
updated
list.
I know that's not
list.
Your accounting.
So don't think like you're
I got to take a
head
picture of mine so I can – Look what I've got to fix that after the show. I got to.
But
fix
I do think
account.
This: once you get past Duke and North Carolina and Wake and Virginia Tech and NC State, those five to me right now.
Right.
Once you get past those five, and you now look from 6 through 15.
Oh boy! Oh no!
I don't know.
I'm with you.
I mean, I really don't know.
I'm with you on that.
On any given night, man, it can flip-flop all over the place.
Yeah, going to be really interesting. Carolina this weekend, Clemson, South Carolina this weekend. I mean, South Carolina just beat Florida State. That'd be a good win for Clemson, right?
Well, anytime they play, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And I kidded around earlier. I do think South Carolina will score in this contest.
Yeah. Plus, you got, like, Virginia Tech and Wake Forest and NC State all playing, you know, competitive non-conference games, games that help your resume. So – But I'm glad Carolina and UCLA are playing. That's a fun series to have.
Yeah, why not?
Which is pretty good.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham, Wednesday edition.
This is Talking Heads, by the way.
Yeah, this is Clausen's walk-in music. I mean, we can't quite David get him Byrne. The mug yet or the custard pie, but this is the best we can do.
Well, I'll tell you what now. My mom is hearing all of this, just so you know.
Well, I hope she is. She should be embarrassed.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Stop it.
Hey, we've already helped
it's my
out.
Mom.
I know who it is. We love her. We already got the bourbon balls today, so she doesn't have to make those for us. Just the lemon squares.
Otto and Captain Ron taking care of the hostesses.
The Woodford Reserve bourbon balls.
All right. By the way, we told you a moment ago, and Steve Forbes is starting to capture the imagination of beyond Wake Forest people, by the way. This is starting to become an ACC thing. Connor O'Neill, Elon grad, posted this last night. Here's Forbes with the five walk-ons at the post game.
Tremendous.
It's awesome. Is that not great?
He's just missing his hat, man. It's the only thing missing. That and some Christmas lights around his neck.
How good is that?
It's a smart move.
That is so good. Those are the five guys that simulated VMI's offense and defense scout team that got the Deacons ready. And he said, these are the guys that deserve the credit.
Well, I will say Wake took their first lead with about 3 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Those would have been the five guys I would have put on that podium had they not won the game. Say, hey, what are we doing? Can't lose to VMI. Deacons got the W, though.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Mike Elko, who we just spoke about with Dave Clawson a moment ago, is the new head football coach at Duke. And a couple days ago, he joined us. We started very simply. What made Duke the right fit for Mike Elko?
I think playing at Penn and understanding how academics and athletics balances each other. I wasn't nearly the athlete that these kids are that we're recruiting to Duke. Hopefully we're doing a lot better than me. But, you know, that started it all. And then working at schools like Richmond, working at schools like Wake Forest, working at a school like Notre Dame where, you know, you're not sacrificing anything in the classroom. You're not sacrificing anything for what these kids are looking for in their future to ultimately get this program where you want it to go. And, you know, we've got to find tremendous balance. We've got to find kids that want to be excellent in every part of their life. And there's a lot of them out there. There really are. There's a lot of kids out there that want to be great in the classroom, want to be great in the community, and want to win championships on the football field. And the Duke brand reaches coast to coast, you know, and that's probably the biggest thing about this program that excites me is I know I can go into any living room from the East Coast to the West Coast and anywhere in between, and people recognize Duke and they recognize what it stands for.
Coach, I can only imagine being Dave Clawson and going, by the way, Mike Elko on line two. You're going, hey, wait a minute, I'm getting ready to play this guy in a bowl game. What's he going to talk to me about?
Yeah.
That's going to be kind of a crazy conversation.
No, so we joked that was the benefit was we didn't have to face head-to-head in the bowl game in January. And then, you know, the negative is we're going to be battling each other head-to-head every day for the next, you know, however many years.
You know, the other thing, too, about this conference, again, I know, you know, diagramming defenses for the Southeastern Conference is a fantastic league. Football is a priority. You jump into this ACC world, and we've been talking about this really for about a year and a half. The quarterbacks in this league, Mike, are really talented. And I'm sure as a defensive eye, you keep an eye on that stuff. And it's an incredible challenge each and every week in this league.
Yeah, I mean, just go back to when I first came in the league. You know, when I first came in the league, you had Deshaun Watson, you had Jameis Winston, you had Lamar Jackson, you had Daniel Jones throwing the ball around over here at Duke. Yeah, this league has always had tremendous quarterbacks, and that presents a challenge to a defensive coordinator. You know, but we were able to navigate that the first time through the league pretty well, you know, and I believe we can do it again here at Duke.
All right, so once you clear Wednesday, is that kind of when then the infrastructure and the details of your program kick into full gear? Because right now it's got to be about getting this thing to the house, right?
Yeah, we got to get to Wednesday. And then the first thing I'm going to do after signing day is just breathe for a quick second. That'll be exciting. And then we got to go to work. And it'll be a process putting the staff together. I've kind of explained this to a lot of the recruits. You know, with everybody playing in bowl games, and obviously nobody's willing to do much between now and signing day, you know, it'll be a process to put this thing together. It won't happen overnight. But by the time our kids get back in January, you know, we'll have this staff up and running. We'll have this program up and running, and we'll have this thing going in the right direction.
Mike, you know, I know Wes touched base with this with the first question, but you knew there was going to be a point in time that, you know what, I'm going to be a head football coach. So I got to figure that, you know, this isn't one of those kind of things that said, hey, tag, you're it. You're the head football coach. You do. And you go, oh, my gosh, got to put a staff together. This has been an acquisition of years and years of experience, contacts, names, putting something together that, hey, when that opportunity presents itself, I should be able to be good to go. And let's get this thing moving ASAP.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've been preparing this for a long time. I've been a defensive coordinator for 16 straight years. I've been at the highest levels of college football for the last eight. And so, you know, this has been a dream of mine. This has been something that I've been preparing to do for a long time. And, you know, I think I'm very ready for this opportunity. And, you know, just going to take time to get this thing up and running the way we want it to. It's just not something that happens with a snap of a finger.
Mike, given what happened in college sports the last couple weeks, where we've seen guys like Lincoln Riley, incredibly successful, go, hey, whoosh, catch you later, I'm out of here. Brian Kelly, Notre Dame, whoosh, catch you later, I'm going to LSU. did you get a sense that, hey, time is of the essence? Or because it just seems like this has been a very strange year as far as the transition table of coaches. Normally you see the transfer portal of players left and right. But, man, yeah. I don't remember a time ever with coaches, athletic directors, that we have seen this kind of mass movement at yeah. high-profile schools. I mean, did that ever dawn on you during this last couple of weeks that, hey, the time is now. Let's go do this.
No, I think it was probably the other way. I think it was probably what was appealing about Duke, because I think mm-hmm. this is a place where there's a lot more continuity and consistency in what we can do. It's not what anybody's looking to be in this profession for. I don't think you're looking to jump, to fly from place to place, to move your family from place to place. And I think when you look at this university, I think this is a place where you can really build roots and you can build this thing from the ground up and put your handprints all over it and build this brand the way we want it to be. And that was probably actually worked the opposite in that it maybe enticed me a little bit more to a place where you can really go and build a solid foundation with a solid group of kids in your program.
And here's the other part, and you mentioned this in relationship to you and Dave Clawson now meeting on an annual basis, which, by the way, will be must-see television, by the way, just simply because of the history. But you also have a firsthand knowledge, working knowledge, of David Cutcliffe leaving it better than he found it. I mean, you know that
sure.
better than anybody
sure.
else. So
yeah.
some of that also plays to your arrival. And I'm curious as to, you know, from afar, now that you went to South Bend and then worked at College Station yeah. with Jimbo, the respect of that build and how it factors into your arrival, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no doubt. I have a tremendous amount of respect for what Coach Cut did here. And when we got to the ACC, it was probably 8 years ago, this place had just come off an ACC division title. They were playing in the ACC championship game. They were putting guys in the NFL. They were graduating their players. And that really continued. You know, they went to 6 bowls in the 7-year stretch. And that history is recent, and it's not very long ago. You know, and then some things happened in the last couple of years, and for whatever reason, you know, it slides. But you have seen in a very recent period Duke football playing at a very high level, Duke football in the ACC championship game, and there's certainly no reason why we can't get back there very quickly.
Mike, you know, you've been blessed in a sense that you worked at Notre Dame, one of the great football traditions and environments. You go to College Station, A&M, the 12th man, it's awesome, been there multiple times. Now you come to Duke, and I know the object is, hey, go get great players, great student-athletes who can do the work academically, where we can go out there and compete and try to win a championship. But what would you like to incorporate from your days at Notre Dame and A&M that you'd like to have at Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium, as I call it? What would you like to incorporate?
Yeah, atmosphere. I think we've got to go to Bull City and we've got to make this Durham's team. I think we've got to get the fans from our student section out on the field and make this feel like Cameron Indoor when you put a basketball game on. There's a lot of passion about Duke athletics. We've just got to get that passion to show up in Wallace Wade on Saturdays. And I think, you know, as the product builds and the quality of the product builds, we just got to make sure that we're continuing to build this in roots with Durham and get these people out and make this their team and their program.
I think there's a tremendous amount of respect there for the work Mike Elko's done, but also a respect for the new head coach at Duke, whether it was Mike Elko or anybody else, who understands how good a job David Cutcliffe did there for so many years.
Without question. Yeah. Without question. And, you know, we're going to miss David Cutcliffe. Number one, he's always a great interview.
Sure.
Number two, his expertise, his professionalism was really a perfect fit for Duke, perfect fit for the ACC. I'm kind of curious to see what he's going to do. I just can't imagine he's just going to go fishing. Do you?
No, and I had somebody ask me last weekend what I think he'll do, and
do
I don't
think?
Know. I would like to think that he's going to find a way to contribute to the game in a way that a lot of people would not be surprised. My guess is he's got a laundry list of people that would like to come talk to him about quarterback play.
No question. I would hire him in a millisecond.
I will say
to be
this.
An analyst,
yeah.
right?
And I would say this about him, much like I said about Paul Johnson. There is a lot about what David Cutcliffe and Paul Johnson did in their coaching careers that now works not only at the collegiate level, it is morphing over into what the National Football League is. And I've told you the story about Paul Johnson and John Harbaugh with Lamar Jackson going up there and doing 3 days in a minicamp situation. to me, David Cutcliffe. Now, I don't know if he'd do it for all of it, because there will be people lining up at his door asking him to come sit in on mini camps and things like that, OTAs, to talk to their teams about quarterback play. There, you know, we've carted out all these guys, Pac, you know this, in the last decade, we've carted out all these guys that are QB gurus. There ain't nobody like this guy. This is the quarterback guru. This guy is that position better than, I mean, you've seen them. They've been on the ESPN family and networks. They've been on other networks. They talk about, we got to get the guy to move his feet and move his shoulders and all this. No, no. This guy is the guy. Because why? The two very best to do it and win Super Bowls were right there with him every step of the way. That's the guy they went to. And now, you know, the proof's in the pudding on that.
Well, like I said, I'd hire him in a millisecond if he wants to do it. I have no earthly idea.
Tell you what, if he wants to come work with us a little bit, I'd be happy to do that, too.
No doubt.
He's a great conversationalist and a very real guy to talk about the X's and O's of the game.
No doubt. 100% agree.
He'd come hang out in the basement. Cut, and you just drive down here.
Anytime.
We'll give you coffee, maybe a breakfast pastry or something. We're good for that, right?
As long as he passed the sniff test with the dogs.
I think that wouldn't be a problem.
I think he'd get along fine with the hounds.
I think he'll stay connected to football.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Yeah. Yep.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Thousands have been affected by southern and midwestern tornadoes. If you'd like to help, please visit redcross.org/ESPN. To help the Red Cross respond and help people recover from this disaster. If you have not seen some of the video from Mayfield, Kentucky, folks, our thoughts and prayers are those people. My goodness. That is a devastating situation in the state of Kentucky, or Commonwealth of Kentucky, and our thoughts with those folks. And if you can help them, we ask that you do. Today is National Signing Day. Don't forget the huddle tonight at 6. Full details, evaluation, analysis. Cornette, Rick, McLean, Manuel, all there. Tom Luganville and others join in. Coaches will be alongside as well. We are sitting here scrolling through social media, and it's been fun to see all the different kind of concepts that have been launched by each school, right, to welcome these recruits.
Just right? Gotta love social media. That's where it's at, Wes.
There was a
That's
day.
Where all the money is.
There was a day, 20-some years ago, Pac, where social media didn't play a role in this. You know why? Because it didn't exist.
Better days, better times.
Well, I'm not so sure about that because the internet was up and running. And in the late 90s, in the midst of recruiting, there were message boards. And there's still message boards, I'm sure. Your school, you probably know where your internet landing spot is for your school, right? It's your favorite part of the show right here. So at Georgia Tech, there was some questions about recruiting and whose star was what. Like Dave Clawson said, some guy might have been a one-star offered by another school, became a two, a three, a four, whatever it may be. So some Georgia Tech folks who were running a message board had a subscriber who created a 6'9", 350-pound offensive tackle named Wally Yapo. Okay? And they created the saga of Wally Yapo. This whole, here's where his recruiting is. Well, people eventually picked up on it. They're like, oh, Wally Yapo, this is a big recruit. And Wally Yapo, you're thinking, okay, it's just an internet deal, right? Well, about a week before signing day, Wally Yapo is listed as a prospect on like three other schools' message boards, including some Southeastern Conference schools.
No.
Oh, yeah. Then there was the guy who said he had tape of Wally Yapo.
So what happened? How'd it get to the end of the...
How'd it get to the end?
Yeah.
Well, it got to the end on the Sunday before signing day, which then back then was, what, February or whatever it was? The Savannah paper listed the top targets in the country. And Wally Yapo was listed as the number one offensive lineman or something like that to be available.
Like I said... I am not a recruiting junkie, and I know
this is why I'm not right here.
I stay away from it. It's like, hey, let the experts handle it. And you, like I said, there are going to be people with rankings, and I've been reading about all the flips today, and
oh yeah,
somebody's name, image, and likeness deal apparently better than somebody else's name, image, and likeness deal.
Oh, really? We got that now?
Oh, you know that's true.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I said, just let me know when they get on campus, and then we're going to find out who wants to play.
That's it.
And who can play.
Tonight at 6, you can check and see if Wally Yapo signed in the ACC.
It's like a little Sid Finch, Sports Illustrated.
It's exactly what it is. Wally Yapo. It was too good to be true.
There was a, again, the only reason I don't know the names because I don't keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
But that happened a couple years ago where the quote-unquote expert recruiters had some guy and apparently thought he was going to some SEC school and they put him as a 4-star. The guy never existed.
It's Wally Yapo.
Come on. And people were losing their minds. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, this is exactly what we need. Like,
this was in the 90s, man. And the same thing happened.
It's crazy.
All right. Don't forget, Duke's got a chance tonight to do something pretty unique. Remember, the men beat Gonzaga out in Vegas. Women have a chance tonight to beat top-ranked South Carolina. How about that? In the last 20 years, here are the men's and women's teams that have beaten a number one in the same season. Oh, wait. How about that? ACC schools to beat both AP number one teams last 20 years.
Isn't that crazy? That's a bar bet right there. That is truly a bar bet right there.
How about that? Huh? You like that?
I do like that.
Tell you what, gang, 8 miles apart. There's a lot going on.
I'd be curious to see what kind of crowds at Cameron Indoor tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, the Gamecocks are really, really good. They've got a great program. Dawn Staley's built a monster there. And, of course, Westmore knocked them off a year ago in Columbia. And the Gamecocks got revenge this year. But South Carolina coming to town. You know, Coach Lawson's got a good club. They've got off to a great start, top 15 in the country. You know, it's holiday season. Big game.
Yeah.
May give us something a lot to talk about tomorrow if that's a upset special.
There you go. Coming up tonight, 6 o'clock, full intel on the huddle. Here's a list of the coaches who will be there and Tom Lugenbill back.
Lugs, good Friday's to see Lugs. Co-host.
Coach Brown, Coach Norvell, Jeff Hafley, Dino Babers, all scheduled to stop by. Dabo Sweeney, for you Clemson fans, will be on Packers edition of Off Campus this afternoon.
Yeah, talking to Coach about 2 in the afternoon. We'll play it at some point in time during the radio show from 4 till 7.
There you go.
And we'll maybe have some out clips and all that stuff from that for tomorrow's show.
There you go. We'll recap all that and more tomorrow. We'll get some of the insight from Hafley and Babers and Norvell and Brown as well on our program here tomorrow if you miss any of the stuff tonight. Thanks to Leonard Hamilton and Dave Clausen. Well, we got some stuff we got to take care of, Coach Clausen, now. Coffee mugs and egg custard and all sorts of things.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.